Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor. The whole realm of nature mine would be a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my heart, my all. As I survey his wondrous cross. Hey, do you like it, Doris? Thanks. The tune. The tune was. The water is wide. You've heard that before. But the words were 300 years old. Here's another oldie, but not moldy. But I've just been kind of thinking of these old tunes. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Yes, I'll sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross
sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost soul to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Yes, I'll sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power to tell. He the victory he giveth over sin, death, and hell. Sing, yes, I'll sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly loves for me, who from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, yes, I'll sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid my debt, he made me free.
Good singing. We are at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures, shall we? Let's pray together. Lord, we're your people. This is your book. You have spoken to us clearly in the scriptures. We agree with what Paul said. All scripture is God-breathed. We accept what Peter said about the scriptures. Holy men of old spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We believe what the psalmist said. Your word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. Open the scriptures. Help us. You know the need of every heart. You know the direction or misdirection of every life. We ask for you to deal with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Last week, we looked at this psalm, and it's interesting because it breaks into three parts. I don't know why that happens to me, but everything I look at breaks into three parts. But this actually breaks into 3 weeks of sermons because I would keep you here all day. I'm doing 3 weeks. It's information given to us in this psalm that is crucial and the most important for us to know. We dealt last week with the first part of this psalm, which dealt with the general information that God gives us. Look at the creation around us. Just look at it. It speaks continually of its creator. Look at it. And there's that little weird section where it talks about the sun coming out of its pavilion, you know, and going from one end of the earth to the other, and we all think that doesn't seem to fit. What it's saying there is that we all live under the influence of this creation in this bubble, and we miss the fact that there's a creator behind it all. Those of you here who are engineers, wouldn't it be terrible if somebody said the car you designed just happened? They threw a bunch of metal went into a bin and it came out a Cadillac Escalade or something like that. Come on. Are you kidding me? That would be an insult. What do you think the Lord feels like when we look at this incredible, intricate world, the intricate us? I mean, our bodies are incredible. I'm always amazed at hospitals. I spent half of my life in hospitals visiting people. Pastor Gall and Debbie have harped on me all this time, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. So I'm into washing my hands all the time now in hospitals. I'm not getting sick near as much. But you go into hospitals and you listen to what the doctors are explaining about the human body and what they have to do. It's incredible. So that's the general information we have. The next step today is the specific information. And then the last step for next week, it's personal information that maybe you don't want to know. Well, we'll see. Anyhow, today, the specific information that the Bible gives us here is absolutely wonderful. We live in the information age, right? But we've had this information for millennia. This info has been ours. It's nice to be able to, ask Siri, how many tablespoons in a cup, or something like that. But I mean real information. Information of why we're here, how this world works, how we relate to it. It's pretty important stuff. It's easy for us to have pride and to act like we don't need anybody to tell us stuff. You know, as you get old, you think you gotta know everything. And you don't. Thank God for good education. Education doesn't make you wise. So you gotta get past your pride. You've heard it. Did you hear about the admiral that was floating his Navy vessel and they were picking up a signal from another location, another ship on the sea? And so the admiral sent out, "You need to adjust your course 10 degrees south." And a message came back, "You need to adjust your course 15 degrees north." He wrote back and said, "I'm an admiral. Adjust your course." The message came back, "I'm seaman first class. Adjust your course." He said, "I'm a destroyer and an admiral." He said, "I'm a seaman first class and I'm manning this lighthouse." You know, we got to get over it, right? You got to get over it. The information's really, really, really important. So this information, what it talks about here, this is just scratching the surface of the benefit of following what God says. I mean, this is God's revelation for his plan for the human race. It tells us all about who he is, who we are, where we're going, what's going to happen. It's amazing. The prophecy of this book that has been fulfilled is absolutely stunning. It's all here. But we must get past our pride. I always loved King Edward VII of England. It was said of him that whenever the scripture was read, the king stood up and listened. And then he sat down and whatever the preacher said or whatever the reader would read the scripture, he would then write notes down to review. And they asked him, "Wow, Your Highness, you show such respect for the scriptures." He said, "I am a king. I am not the king." Pretty good. pretty good insight. So there is incredible and great benefit. Let's get into these. It'll only take us a few minutes. Let's go through them. Look at verse 7 with me, if you would. It says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. It's perfect. We believe the scriptures are inerrant, without error. They've proven to be. And in this world where nobody thinks you can really know anything, that you really can't believe anything anybody tells you, you just got to discover it on your own. When you find that there is truth that is put together and right, it does something. It's reviving when you know there are answers and direction for your life. It just is reviving. The Hebrew word here for revive means to restore from disorder and decay. It puts you back together. I've got this deck that I built 31 years ago. It's still on the back of my house. My friends for 12 years have been saying, when are you going to tear this thing up? When are you going to do a new one? It's still okay. It's really not okay. It's really starting to go. Everything in this world decays, and you without God's truth are going to go in a wrong direction. That's all there is to it. You don't have to. You can go in a right direction. And when you find that His law is perfect, it's just reviving, recovering. It is such a great thing to know. We can know. She called me yesterday, just had her 92nd birthday. I was in my study alone here in the building. Pastor Tom, it's terrible. It's terrible. I said, "What's wrong, honey? What's wrong?" I don't know what's wrong. But they've stolen all my pencils. They've stolen all of that. And I can't write, and I don't know. In that early onset of Alzheimer's, the confusion of it, the despair of it. You do not have to live with spiritual Alzheimer's. By the way, if you do end up with some kind of a brain disorder and you forget, He will never forget you, and He will never let you go. But here she is, struggling with all of that. But sometimes we do that spiritually. Oh, it's just terrible. What do you mean terrible? Debbie showed me a picture. We were laying in bed last night. She says, "Oh, I forgot I had this picture." And it's a little girl putting this crown on her head. And it's like, whenever I'm having a real bad day, I remember whose I am, and I straighten my crown. Isn't that good? I like that. Hey, it is reviving. That means hope. You want hope? This is where you're going to get it. You're not going to find it anywhere else. There's a lot of good information all over the world. It's wonderful. We should always be learning. But this is the hope. Here's another one. The second part of verse 7 says this: the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. You know, since we know that this stuff is trustworthy, we know that it's true, we can cling to it. And you know what? You might not be the smartest guy in the room, the brightest bulb in the tree, or the sharpest tool in the shed, but you can have great wisdom. 35 years ago, I was learning how to carve, and I was taking sharpening classes from a carver in Frankenmuth, George Kaelhofer. He would answer the phone, "Wood Carving Studio." That's how he used to answer it. Anyhow, he was teaching me how to sharpen. This probably isn't interesting to most of you, but it was interesting to me. Big sandstone wheel, trough of water, sandstone running. Me, the brilliant genius I am, I said, "George, why is the wheel turning away from us? That's drawing heat from the grinder to the tip of the chisel. It's going to soften the metal, take that Rockwell hardening out of it. It won't hold an edge." And he said, "I will tell you why." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because if you run it the other way, you shoot water in your pants." I said, "Never mind." See what I mean? It makes wise the simple. You know, since it is trustworthy, we can just hang on to it. We know it's true. We can depend on it. And we can make decisions based upon what the scripture says. Boy, that's not popular today. You know that? But it's true and it works. Nothing else does. You can try going the other direction. How's that work out for you? Never well. Okay? Doesn't work. A buddy of mine has his mother's jewels. Probably $300,000-$400,000 worth of jewelry that his mother owned. It was awesome stuff. I saw it once. Whew. Anyhow, he doesn't keep it at home. You want to know where he keeps it? Keeps it at the bank in a safe deposit box. you know, he goes in, the bank manager goes in, puts their key in, he puts his key in, he opens it, there's mother's jewels. You know, they're never going anywhere. You want to know why? Because they're in the safe deposit box. They're safe. They're not going to go anywhere. God's truth is a safe deposit box for all of us. It's not going away. It's always going to be true. And it will make wise the simple. You want to make right decisions, then follow the scriptures. Most of the Bible is rubber meet the road stuff. I mean, of course, it tells us about who the Lord is, about our salvation. That's what the main message of it is. It's about the coming of Jesus to die for our sins so that we could be redeemed and forgiven. But there's so much of the Bible that's just rubber meets the road. It's about how to live life. It's about money. It's about relationships. It's about raising children. It's about all kind of business. It's about all that stuff. It's all there. And I'll tell you what, you might not have all the degrees in the world, but if you follow the teachings of Scripture, you will be a wise person. Living by God's law is wise. You want to know why it's wise? Because these are the law. You want to know why I'm afraid of heights? Because I believe in a law called gravity. You know, you step off of the ladder, and it's not going to be pretty. There's not a good result. You can say, I don't believe that law. Oh, yeah? Well, if you don't believe in the law of gravity, if you step off a bridge, it's going to hurt, and I hope you survive. God's laws are laws, just like the law of gravity. And so it'll make you wise. Why fight it? Why do that? You know, I'll tell you something else, too. North is still north. It's a law, okay? Now, you might think you know your directions to everything. Anyhow, I got a pretty good nose on me for directions. I can think I know where I'm going, but north is still north no matter what you do. It's a law. You can't change it. You can think you can get there by going south, but you're going to have to go 26 or 7,000 miles and take a lot of boats, trains, planes, and automobiles to get there. It's much easier just to go 3 miles that way. The law of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. Let's look at the next one. Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Right means, you know what right means? Safe. You want safety? Follow what he says. It's damaging the other way, you guys. It hurts, just like the other laws we're talking about. If we will simply follow his word, it's the safety in that is absolutely beautiful. And safety equals joy. When everything is good, when you know you're going in the right direction, there is a joy to that. The second part of verse 8 says this, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. My study upstairs is really cool, especially on the rainy days we've been having, because it's got this cathedral ceiling thing in it up there. And I got all my books. I've got a Bose Wave Radio. I've got a coffee pot. It's a great life. That's all I can tell you. But, you know, it's kind of hard to see up there in that dark stuff. And so a buddy said to me, oh, I have these new light bulbs. Let's put them in your spots. So he took it all apart, put them on. It was like, bam, wow. I can read. I can go in and look around and know where stuff is. I can see really well in my bookcases. Over my desk, it's like I have to wear suntan lotion to not get sunburned. It's that bright up there. It's absolutely wonderful. It's amazing when you follow God's law, all of a sudden you see things as they really are. You know, one of the reasons I became a Christian is because what I saw in the Bible matched real life. So many ideas, especially now during the whole political thing that's going on, so many ideas are being thrown around out there. Most of them are going, are you kidding me? You believe that? That doesn't fit. You know, my dad used to say, really, Einstein, that's what you think? That's what he used to say. I told you that. It's radiant. God's word is radiant, giving light to the eyes. You will just see things better. But you've got to make a choice. Are you going to follow him? You've trusted Christ as your Savior, but you know there's more to it. I mean, that's done. If you trust Jesus, if you realize you're lost, and you ask Jesus to be your Savior, what he did on that cross is applied to you, and you are born into the family of God, and you are given his forgiveness. And that's a sealed deal. But listen, why ruin our lives while we're here? He gives us the rest of the law to be able to follow it, to be healthy. It's just so much better for us. Who's Peter Forsyth? You don't know who he is, but he's somebody that I read. He said this, you will never find your freedom until you submit to the master. You will never find your freedom until you submit to the master. Roger Staubach, way back when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl, greatest quarterback of all time, right? You know what he revealed is that he didn't call any of the plays. Coach Landry, Tom Landry, sent in every play. All he did is tell the team what they were going to do. He didn't make the decision. The coach made the decision on all the plays. Our life looks like that. Let him call the plays of your life, not us thinking we're smart enough to figure it all out on our own. Why try to reinvent the wheel when he's already told you the truth? It's pretty important stuff. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Now, verses 9 through 11 kind of all go together. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey on the comb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. This is like the last bit of counsel. Listen, listen. Just do it. There is great reward here. Great reward. Incredible reward. Do you remember Jesus meeting with that little lady at the well? And he said to her, "Can I have a drink of water?" And she said, "Well, yeah." And he led her in the conversation. He said, "You know, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me and I'd have given you living water." And he led her into the conversation and told her what she needed. That's what this is doing here. Look at this is what you need. Okay? You need this. Jesus. After Peter totally blew it with Jesus and denied him three times. Right? You've denied him after being so exuberant. We all have. None of us are better than Peter. And so Peter's in that really awkward moment after the resurrection of Jesus where they're sitting on the shore. Here's the resurrected Christ who had cooked everybody breakfast. And Jesus just wants to help him get over his failure. He says, "Hey, Pete, you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, yeah, I love you." "Peter, do you really love me? You love me more than these?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said to him, "Then I got something you to do. I want you to feed my sheep." Okay, isn't it neat? Denied him three times. Jesus gave him opportunity to confess him three times. And then he gave him a job, feed my sheep. But Peter is intimidated by John, Mr. Perfect, who did not run away and stayed with Jesus at the cross and with his mother. Stood with Mary. In fact, it was Jesus on the cross dying, looks down at John and says, "Hey, son, this is your mother. Mom, this is your new son." And it says, John took her home and treated her like his mother until she died. That, I tell you, if the books could be written, I'd like to see that video of that part of the life of Mary. So then, Jesus is telling Peter, "You need to follow me." But he says he's intimidated by John, Mr. Perfect. You got a brother like that, Mr. Perfect? I got one of those, okay? He's intimidated by Mr. Perfect. So he goes, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus says, "What difference is that to you? If I want him to live until I return, what's that up to you? You must follow me." You get that? We have to follow him and follow what he has said. It is so important that we get this. Look at the result. It says, there's two things as I close. The first is this. It says in verse 10, "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold." Let me put it this way to you. This is the most valuable thing you've been ever given. Well, of course, your salvation, which is all part of this, but we have to follow it. It is so important that we do. Do you see that? The most precious thing you can have in this world are the principles taught in this book. And then this too, get this. "They are sweeter than honey from the comb." I love this. This is before the sugar generation that we live in. Everything is sweet that we eat, right? Everything. Now, back then, nothing was sweet. Honey. When he wanted to explain something that was honey, honey, and not the honey that's sitting around, the stuff you reach into the comb and get yourself and taste. That's how sweet this is. Debbie and I, when we were down in Myrtle Beach, we went to this new restaurant, Lulu's. It's Jimmy Buffett's sister. And it's such a great place. It's right on the waterway, the intercoastal waterway. And your table is right by the water. And, oh, beautiful. And we had been, you know, good. We've been trying to walk the straight and narrow with what we eat. The waitress said, you should try our bread pudding. And Debbie said, come on, we've been good. We can have dessert. So she brings us this piece of bread pudding and informed us that each piece of bread pudding has within it 6 Krispy Kreme donuts. Life is good. You know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, I have radar when the light is on. Okay, you know what I mean? So this stuff, 6 Krispy Kreme donuts in there. That's what the Word of God is like to His people. It is sweet. I mean, it is sweet. There's something you got to do. You got to make a decision. I'm going to close with that. You got to make a decision. Who are you going to follow? We are surrounded with voices. The peer pressure is everywhere. You know, you're trying to do right with your money. You're trying to take care of finances. You're trying to make planning for the future. You're trying to handle your money properly and biblically and all that stuff. But you got your friends, man. They're driving all the new stuff. They got the great house. They got all that. They're also like stupid in debt. You know, if there's a hiccup in the economy, it's over. Okay, but they're eating out all the time. They're spending $300-$400 a week out at restaurants, all that stuff, and they're living on the edge. That is not cool. All right, and you got to make a decision. Are you going to be cool, or are you going to be healthy? What are you going to do? You got to decide who you're going to serve. John Galbraith, he was a Canadian economist, another brilliant Canadian, and John taught 50 years at Harvard as an economics professor. An amazing guy. One day he comes home. True story. He says to his housekeeper, sweet little Mrs. Jones. He says to her, Mrs. Jones, I have got to take a nap. Because he had just flown back from Washington and he had to get a nap. So he said, I'm going to take a nap. Please hold all my calls. I don't care who calls. So the phone rings about an hour later. The little lady answers it. It's President Johnson. Yes, I'd like to talk to John. She said, I'm sorry, sir, but he's taking a nap. Well, wake him up. You know, Lyndon, he was pretty bombastic. Wake him up, babe. Come on. She said, no, sir, he told me to hold all of his calls. Well, listen, honey, I am the president of the United States. I think he said of this United States is how he would put it. Wake him up. She said, sir, I don't work for you. I work for him. And the answer's no. Call back later. Click. Hung up on the prez, baby. Oh, that's great. So anyhow, when John finally realized, she said, oh, by the way, while you were sleeping, the president called. The president called! Anyhow, so he calls the White House and they patch him through. And President Johnson was laughing. He says, I don't know who that little woman is, but I want her working for me. That's all I can tell you. I want her. Name your price. You know, here it is, you know, whatever you're paying her, I'm going to quadruple it, boy. You know, Texas boy, you know how they talk. Listen, who are you going to work for? You got decisions to make about this, okay? You're going to work for the people around you to make sure they all think that you're, you know, you don't want to offend anybody? Or are you going to serve the living God who's giving you his absolute truth in the scriptures? Do you want to limp your way through life making mistake after mistake after mistake because you won't follow what he's clearly said? Oh, yeah, we're all going to blow it sometimes. Absolutely. Till we get to heaven, then we'll be perfect. But I'm telling you, there's no reason to make excuses for not trying, right? You think about that. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Pray with me, please. Yes, Rick. That's good. The honey is only sweet if you take it in. That's true. And I know that's true about the Krispy Kremes, too. Personally, I don't like honey, but Krispy Kremes, I'm in. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you have given us your word. And how wonderful here in this psalm, how you've given us this general information that we can see clearly. Without a Bible, we can clearly see what you're like. Your incredible ability to create this and to run this amazing mechanism of this universe down to the smallest particle. You are amazing. And we are in awe of who you are. But you've also then given us this general information, but also this specific information that you give us about what you've told us in your word. Help us, Lord. May we apply it to our lives. And I guess we got to be in it in order to apply it. And Lord, I ask that you would help us all to begin reading day by day in the scriptures. Just reading them, taking them in. I know that a lot of us use the Bible Gateway daily readings that pop up on our devices, whatever. But help us to be taking your word in and thinking about it. So it's like building a retirement fund, a little bit at a time, putting it away until it becomes something rich and beautiful in our lives. Help us with this, Lord. Father, you know everybody in this room. Thank you for your great patience and love for all of us. We ask, Lord, that you'll just help us this week as we move forward with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.